WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Advocacy groups are suing Virginia to allow two more days of voter registration after a utility accident shut down the state's elections portal on the last day to register to vote. The same members of anti-government domestic terror groups arrested for a plot against Michigan's governor discussed kidnapping Governor Northam, and he points the finger at Trump. Also, we profile Democrat Abigail Spanberger running for re-election in Virginia's 7th District. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, October 14. Several advocacy groups are suing the state of Virginia to allow two more days of voter registration. A federal court in Virginia is set to hear that lawsuit this morning. That's after a tech failure disabled state websites on Tuesday, the final day to register to vote. Ben Pavier with partner station VPM has this update.
Utility workers accidentally cut a fiber cable, shutting down internet service for a number of state agencies. That includes Virginia's voter registration website, which was down for much of Tuesday. In a lawsuit filed late that evening, three voter advocacy groups say the outage interfered with Virginians' fundamental right to vote. Virginia's Democratic Attorney General, Mark Herring, backs their effort, but their tentative agreement still needs final sign-off from a judge. It's not the first time this has happened. In 2016, a judge granted an extra day of registration after a state website crashed.
Ben Pavier reporting. Rebecca Green, a professor at the College of William and Mary Law School, said that a court would probably consider that this was outside of voters' control in the absence of normal registration activities because of COVID.
That kind of activity isn't happening this year, so it seems like an even more important, role that the online system is playing.
In 2016, a court extended the registration period after the website crashed. The same members of anti-government domestic terror groups arrested for a plot against Michigan's governor discussed kidnapping Governor Ralph Northam, according to the FBI. An agent testified Tuesday during a court hearing for a group of men accused of plotting to abduct the governor of Michigan. The men, all from Michigan, allegedly discussed kidnapping Northam in June in a meeting in Ohio. So far, no one has been charged with plotting against Northam, but the investigation continues. On Tuesday, Northam criticized President Trump for his tweets in April to, quote, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, and other states from restrictions due to the pandemic. Northam's spokeswoman said Trump, quote, regularly encourages violence against those who disagree with him. Justice Department lawyers on Tuesday appealed an order that bars them from transferring inmates to the Immigration Detention Center in Farmville. The ICE facility had experienced a massive coronavirus outbreak over the summer. U.S. District Court Judge Leonie Brinkema had issued a preliminary injunction in August barring transfers into the Farmville Detention Center. She issued the injunction after blaming the coronavirus outbreak there on a bureaucratic circus that allowed the transfer of a large group of detainees from Florida and Arizona without any quarantine, despite jail policies against such transfers. During the outbreak, 90% of the nearly 300 inmates at the center tested positive for the virus, and a 72-year-old detainee from Canada died. Federal authorities say the outbreak has subsided. U.S. Senator Mark Warner and his Republican opponent Daniel Gade squared off in their third and final debate Tuesday night, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When Mark Warner ran for governor in 2001, he received criticism he wanted to be governor without ever having run for office before. Now that he's seeking a third term to the Senate, though, his Republican opponent, Daniel Gade, is calling Warner a career politician.
When he says he's going to work across the aisle, what we really see is him retreating into his partisan positions. He votes with his party 95% of the time when it's not an election year, and he gets bipartisan only in an election year.
Warner responds to this argument by name-checking Republicans he's worked with during his time in the Senate, including John McCain and Orrin Hatch. He also points to support from his predecessor in office, Republican Senator John Warner.
Virginians know my record. They know my record as governor when, as a Democrat, with a 2-to-1 Republican legislature. We made record investments and we were named best-managed state, best state for business, best state to receive a public education. All records I'm proud of working together.
polls show Warner has a double-digit lead over Cade, although 6 years ago he was barely able to squeak by in an unexpectedly close race against Republican Ed Gillespie. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, Virginia's 7th District stretches from Culpeper all the way south to Blackstone, encompassing the suburbs west of Richmond. The mix of rural and suburban voters makes for a competitive race this year between Republican Nick Freitas and incumbent Abigail Spanberger. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopaine spoke with the Democrat about her policy positions and has this report.
2 years ago, Abigail Spanberger narrowly ousted hardcore conservative Dave Bratt. The former CIA agent and first-time political candidate made history by becoming the first Democrat to win the Central Virginia seat in decades.
We did it! We did it!
Spanberger positioned herself as a moderate and immediately backed the claim up by voting against Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. To this day, she's still critical of Democratic leadership. In our recent interview, she blamed her own party for failing to pass a second wave of COVID relief.
This should have been done back in May. But back in May, House leadership, and this is on my party, House leadership decided to prioritize a partisan bill and then talk for months on end about how the Senate wouldn't take up our partisan bill.
She herself voted against that bill, saying it wasn't a good faith effort. And the fact that Republicans in the Senate haven't taken it up doesn't surprise her. She adds her vote should not be interpreted as lack of support for COVID relief. She's all for extending programs that deliver direct financial aid to businesses and people.
Programs such as extended unemployment, direct payments to individuals, continued PPP support, support to our states and our localities.
But Spanberger says that's not going to happen without bipartisan deal making. She says she's still working to negotiate with Republicans.
The senior standing in line at the food bank is still trying to survive. The small business owner who hasn't taken a paycheck since March or April is still trying to keep that business afloat, to keep people employed. The unemployed worker who is looking desperately for work in an economy that is collapsing is still trying. And the kids who are learning virtually in these unimaginable circumstances are still trying. And so I am still trying to deliver aid to all of them.
Try or not, those efforts still haven't been successful. In a district where Spanberger is consistently challenged at town halls by conservative constituents, she walks a centrist tightrope. On immigration, she's for strengthening border security and helping undocumented immigrants become citizens. On gun violence, she often points out she used to carry a gun for work, but also thinks there should be universal background checks. And on health insurance, she does not support Medicare for all, but does think the government should provide health insurance for those who want it.
Those who have an employer-provided insurance who wish to keep it can do that. But those who are small business owners or who are entrepreneurs, they can access health care either through a marketplace plan or through the Medicare X choice plan.
And even amidst a global pandemic, she says it's always an appropriate time to talk about the need to tackle the country's soaring deficit. Spanberger, like hundreds of thousands of other Virginians, has already voted in the election. She cast her ballot in person at the registrar's office in Henrico County on the first day polls opened. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopaine.
Democrat Abigail Spanberger is running for re-election in Virginia's 7th District, and we'll have a conversation with her opponent, Republican Nick Freitas, tomorrow. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.